Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
All right, now we did reach out to Mayor Marty Walsh's office for their reaction to Airbnb's pushback to their proposals. Remember, the mayor's idea amounts to basically banning some 2,000 investor-owned units from doing short-term rentals. The mayor's office sent us a statement today saying that the ordinance will stabilize communities, balancing the city's effort to, quote, preserve housing affordability with the growing demand for short-term rentals. Now, on the other hand, Airbnb thinks otherwise, as we've heard. They said in a statement last week that the proposal, quote, violates federal laws, harms the middle-class Bostonians, and doesn't fully consider input from the thousands of families already using home sharing to pay the bills. All right, so let's get some view, local view here from two folks on either side of this issue. First is Andrew Scalaban. He's the founder of the Boston Host Alliance. They represent short-term rental operators and providers here in Boston. Andrew Scalaban, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Lydia Edwards. She's city councilor for District 1, which includes East Boston, Charlestown, and the North End. Councilor Edwards, welcome back to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so Andrew Scalaban, this is a proposal. It's got to go through the city council. What's your problem with it?
Our biggest problem with it is as a small business owner, we employ dozens of employees on the, you know, from cleaners to handyman and reservationists. We also provide, you know, an economic effect on the city, which is huge, and potential tax revenue once the city, once the state approves their tax bill.
Okay, but we're only talking about investor-owned units, though. We're not talking about, you know, like individuals. Say someone who's small business owners, but they're investors too, right? But it's not every Airbnb possible rental in Boston.
That's correct. Yes, and it's the investor class specifically that we're talking about today.
Okay, so Lydia Edwards, let me hear your take, Counselor. Do you think that the mayor's proposal is good for Boston or not?
I think it's a balanced approach right now in an emerging economy that we need to get a hold of. We don't want to have regulators' remorse, and we do see a real crisis, and Airbnb has been proven to raise rents and also has been proven to actually help displace people. So our concern, I understand that Airbnb has an economic concern and they're fighting like very hard to make sure that they can make as much money as possible. But we have a mandate as leaders in the community, as councilors, and as a mayor to protect Boston. And that's what we're going to try to do with this regulation.
Okay, let's get a call here because lots of people care a lot about this. Let's go to Nate, who's on the line. Nate, you're on the air. Nate, you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So what's your take on these Airbnb proposals?
So I think the regulation will have a very negative impact on the city, small businesses, and a lot of people that work with and for Airbnbs. One of them is, you know, we're talking about the investor-owned class. I think there's a misconception with that where a lot of people are individual owners, and they're just trying to make sure that their property is cash flow positive, and Airbnb is a good solution for them, especially when they come back to the city and want to have a place to stay. The other thing is all the cleaners and local businesses that are supported by the travelers and by the industry, is there will be a huge negative impact on that. And lastly, I don't believe that Airbnb has any impact on the rental rises from over the years, because we're looking at luxury high-rises that have huge rent increases.
Yeah, Nate, I'm going to just jump in here because your phone line's a little bit shaky, too. But I wanted to turn back to Councilor Lydia Edwards about that, about Nate's last point. I mean, I know Mayor Walsh's office has said that the rent issue is one of the reasons why they're proposing this. But Nate's saying that he says Airbnb doesn't have any effect on rent.
Yeah, and I believe the comptroller of New York or one of the, the attorney general's office actually came out with a study showing that Airbnb on average does increase rents in cities. So this is not unstudied. This is not just coming out of nowhere. There's also a real concern about supply and demand. And when you have and are building units, but then they are taking off the market for actually housing long-term Bostonians for housing tourists, you do have a supply and demand issue. And so what's left over will be overly priced.
Yeah. So Andrew Scalaban, let me turn back to you here, but I also want to play a piece of tape on this point from Sheila Dillon. She's the chief of housing for the city of Boston, as you know, and she does absolutely believe that the mayor's proposals will benefit residents, and here's why.
The goal is that we make sure that all of the new housing that we're building and a lot of the neighborhood housing that exists remains for Boston residents. Too much of our housing stock was going to the short-term rental industry.
What's your response to that?
Our response to that is there's 2,600 investor units. There's 169,000 total rental units in all of the city of Boston. So we're looking at 1.5%. So getting, you know, less than that back, you're not going to see much of a increase in rent price or decreases in rent prices.
Okay, so let's get a call here. Lisa is calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Lisa.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. My opinion is that the Airbnb situation actually destabilized neighborhoods. And as you know, Boston and the surrounding area, we're very neighborhood-driven. When you allow investors to rent night by night by night and not be subjected to the same regulations and taxation as hotels, it means that you have strangers in your neighborhood who don't respect the parking rules, they don't respect the garbage rules. We can pick people out walking down our street that are Airbnb renters.
And so you sounds like you're in favor of these regulations. I mean, how far would you go in clamping down on short-term rentals?
I think for people who buy a property strictly as an investment to do this night-to-night or day-to-day rental like Airbnb, if they can't afford to buy the property without doing that, they shouldn't buy it. Most investors used to buy a property and they would rent it on annual leases to people, and those people become part of the fabric of a neighborhood. This is just putting a hotel in the middle of a block, basically.
Lisa, thank you so much for your call. Andrew Scalaban, I mean, I think Lisa's not alone in feeling that way.
Lisa makes a really good point. So 2014, $50 million was brought to the local Boston economy. As of last year, it was $54,000 just in Jamaica Plain, Roxbury, and Mattapan. So we're talking about neighborhoods outside of hotel districts. So the effect on neighborhoods is incredible for, I think, residents and local business owners for, you know, both restaurants, retail, vibrant of the city.
Okay. And now, do you know of how much of that money you just quoted is from these investor-owned units or non-investor-owned units that wouldn't be subject to the mayor's proposal?
So they're saying about 50% of the Airbnbs in Boston are investor-owned, probably at a higher nightly rate. So I would say more than 50% of that.
Okay. Lydia Edwards, I mean, you were speaking to this point a little earlier, but Andrew Scalaban's kind of brought it to a head, saying that there's an entire sort of sub-economy that filters its way out through multiple Boston neighborhoods in a positive way because of Airbnb and at the mayor's proposals at a risk of sort of clamping down on that.
Yeah, no, I think that there's several ways to look at this. First, I know one of the arguments was that there was tons of jobs that are being created and that there are house cleaners and they're able to clean. And, you know, one of the first things we asked one of the investor folks who were testifying was, tell us more about those jobs. Are they union? Are they paying fair wages? What are you doing? And their immediate response was, well, we subcontract. We don't really control the rates that those workers are getting paid. So before we talk about the amount of jobs that we're creating, you know, if we're creating just another set of minimum wage jobs, then I'm not going to celebrate the vibrant economy that we're supposedly bringing to the city of Boston. I would really love to hear more about actual tenants being able to find housing, being able to stay here in the city of Boston. And I, you know, I'd hate to pit, you know, folks who are tenants against folks who are trying to find work. I don't think that necessarily has to, that the economy has to happen, but I think that's what Airbnb and a lot of folks need to happen in order to justify or to have an argument that they feel really demonstrates that they're really just a little guy. And I think that's a false premise.
Andrew Scalaban, would you like to respond to that?
I would say we are the little guys, so we're not investors buying up whole buildings and turning them into Airbnbs. We're supporting long-term landlords of Boston using, you know, their rentals that may have sat on the market for a really long time. They lowered the prices a bunch of times, weren't rented, and then this is their alternative to that. This is landlords who have, you know, not hundreds of units, but a few units here or there. They're now competing with new builds and luxury units and stuff, and they can't compete on the same level. So this is a way for Boston's landlords to be able to continue to, you know, make their rents.
Okay, so let's take some more callers here. Tina is calling from the Back Bay. You're on the air, Tina.
Hello. Hi. I'm calling on the point of view of the resident who actually live in the same building as potentially there are some investors that buy empty unit and never live there and rent it out to stranger all the time. And I live in that building. I'm concerned about the safety for myself, that I don't see the neighbor. I see stranger all the time coming in and out of my building. I don't know how many copy of key has been sending out, and I don't know who's in and who's out. So That's all my concern.
Okay. Tina, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Mario, who's calling from Newton. You're on the air, Mario.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. And I just want to say I really respect what Andrew's doing, but I think everything wrong in Boston right now with the rental market is because of folks like Andrew. And I've listened a lot to what he said, but you know, it's my opinion that these laws should have been put in place a long time ago, because what happens is in some of these parts of Boston and the surrounding areas, landlords look at what people rent out on Airbnb, and this is a lot of times how a lot of landlords project how they're going to increase their rental rates. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, thanks. Mario, thanks for your call. Andrew Scalaban, you get a chance to respond to him.
Landlords have the right to raise rents as they wish. We don't have rent control in Boston. And, you know, rents haven't been increasing that much. And they say the BU study last year said that we're only affecting the rental prices by 0.4%.
For short-term rentals.
Short-term rentals.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, rents have been going up in Boston pretty significantly. They may have been stabilizing over the past year, but we've seen big jumps in rents. But to your point about short-term rentals, I see that. Lydia Edwards, let me just sort of kind of drive to ask you a question that's on the flip side of things here. Kind of big picture, why should the city at all be regulating what an owner, whether or not it's an owner-occupied unit, but what an owner does with their unit if what they're doing is not illegal under any stretch of the imagination?
Well, I mean, that is a big question, but I think it's also a question that really goes to the heart of owning property. You know, why would you have regulations? Because we live in a community, because we are connected, because if you don't take care of your property, it could devalue mine. If you don't take care of your property and you allow it to catch on fire, it could ruin mine. You have regulations for safety, for sanitation, for all sorts of reasons, regardless of whether you live in the place or you don't. And ownership there's benefits and obligations that come with owning property in the city of Boston. So I think the heart of that question is really just that's the cost of doing business if you're going to be a property owner.
Got it.
And I think that the city strikes a balance by saying that those who are owners and live in Boston, they, again, I want to be clear, a lot of the folks who are calling, they get a whole unit in addition to their unit that they're living in, their unit 365, and then they get an additional whole unit for up to 120 days that they can use for short-term rentals to help pay the bills.
Lydia Edwards, Councilor Edwards, I'm so sorry to interrupt you there, but Andrew Scalaban, you got 10 seconds here because I got to wrap up in about 20 seconds.
Obviously, there's no laws about buying condos and renting them to regular folks in the regular market. So it's a kind of a narrow Band-Aid that they're going to rip out, taking away investor units. Yeah. There's a bigger problem here.
Well, we just got started this conversation. We'll talk about it more as it works its way through the city council. Andrew Scalaban, founder of Boston Host Alliance, thank you. And Councillor Lydia Edwards, thank you as well. We'll be back. This is Radio Boston.